Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Romans chapter 8, one of my all-time favorite chapters of the Word of God. You know, it always hit me right between the eyes. It's always met my needs over the years, many different events, many different occasions, many different mountains and valleys. I've been able to go to Romans in chapter 8. Boy, the whole gamut is covered here in Romans and chapter 8. I'm going to preach. I just pray it right from the heart, right from the throne of God this morning. Trust that God will be in it. I believe He will, and He'll speak to your hearts, and He'll meet your needs as well. Look at that very first verse before we pray. I'd like to read maybe 8 or 9 verses here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Live for God. Live above life. Live the abundant life that we have been called to. It says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that's the incarnation, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus did it all. You and I are supposed to live out the righteousness of Christ. Let's do a good job for God. I want to stir the pot this morning. I want you and myself as well to realize our responsibility and what we need to do. Don't just lean on your brother or sister that's sitting next to you. Pick out the most spiritual person in your family. Don't expect them to carry all the load. We all have a mandate. We all have a calling, a responsibility from God. And I just know that God, who has already done it all, if we will just follow Him, good things are going to happen. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. We know that to be true. And they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, this is big doctrine. We are to live out the righteousness already provided by Jesus Christ. This is bigger doctrine than maybe you're hearing right now. We are called, we have a responsibility to live out that saving righteousness, that saving grace, the righteousness that has been given to us by none other than the very Son of God, imputed to us. We are to put shoe leather to it, and we are to live it out. Imperfect as we are, we are to get in the struggle, we are to get in the fight, and we're to exemplify it, manifest Him before the whole world. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Don't go back to the world. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, the fleshly mind is enmity with God, against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You ever wonder why a Christian could go off and live in sin? Because they're carnally minded. Because they no longer follow God. They're following the sarxenos, the flesh, the old fallen nature. They've gone back to Egypt. And to be carnally minded, the Bible says, is destruction. It is death. Verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. We know that's the case. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of God, get saved. Get born again. Verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. God's not going to leave you alone. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You don't owe this world anything. You don't owe your flesh anything. You don't owe that old fallen nature anything. You don't owe the devil anything. You owe Jesus everything. Amen. How can we not serve God after receiving salvation by grace? For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or reckon dead the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Another thing happened. It was yesterday afternoon. A lady come up to me just after the noon hour and said, are you the pastor? I said, yes, I am. She said, I must have looked holy or something. I don't know. Maybe it was my coffee. Maybe that's what it was. But she said, are you the pastor? I said, yes, I am. She said, I hope you don't mind, but my husband and I, we did a self-tour through your facilities. And here's how she worded it. She's from the Garden Peninsula. They're cheering for probably some grandchildren up in Munising. And they're from this area originally. And she said, how did all of this happen? I said, well, I've been here 43 years. And then I thought, no, that's not the right thing to say. And I told her, we have a great God. Amen. We have a great God. She said, what a facility. She walked through the basement. They walked through the classrooms. Thankfully, everything was clean. All right. And walked through and saw the kitchen and came upstairs and saw the bathrooms. They were impressed with the bathrooms. She said, oh, and the auditorium is beautiful. And I said, ma'am, we're getting ready to build again. And I saw a tear well up in her eye. Man, God, our God in heaven, he's the reason for it all. Any good in me or in my family, in you or in your family, because we're saved by grace, it all goes back to Calvary. You point it all back to Jesus Christ. Man, he's the one that's doing it all here. And we're not done. We're not done. There's more that has to happen. People got born again this week here. You know, it's a matter of staying faithful, giving glory to God along the way, and staying gun barrel straight. I want to give a little commercial. Tonight, I'm preaching to Fundamental Baptist Church. At 6 o'clock tonight, I'm preaching a much needed message. I'm going to preach far, far more than just having all of our ducks in a row and being gun barrel straight with doctrine. I want to go to the heart. I want to preach out of 2 Timothy. And you come tonight if you're part of Fundamental Baptist Church. If we are really going to take that step forward, our hearts, we got to be right on the inside. I'm going to preach what you need and what I need tonight as children of God. And if we got Chuck Harding coming next week, revival. Man, if we're going to see that, if God the Holy Spirit would visit the Eastern Upper Peninsula, would visit the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, if he would come in a powerful way in the state of Michigan, wouldn't it? We got to get our hearts right. We've got to be prepared. Tonight, 6 o'clock, that's my little commercial. Go back again to Romans in chapter 8. And it says in verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Don't owe it anything. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But ye through the Spirit do mortify, make those right decisions, and reckon dead the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And then he says in verse 14, and you could title this message all kinds of different titles this morning. And I preached this text, I don't know how many times. In 43 years. I have no idea. You know, as an old man, you think I'd be smart enough now to write by the text that I use, the date that I preach it, so that when God speaks to my heart again, I'd see the date and I'd say, oh, I just preached that 12 months ago. Or, oh, I just preached that 10 years ago. Or, I just preached that 2 weeks ago, last week, because that's where my mind is right now. And I just preach the text. That's all I want to do is preach the text this morning. I want to encourage you as a child of God. Tonight would be some nuts and bolts. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is good. And I one time preached this text, and I titled the message, The Doctrine of Everything is Going to Be All Right. How many remember that? Sometime. You can't remember last week? You're just like me? All right. And that's the doctrine I'm going to preach this morning. I'm going to be all over it. But the fact that we have a God in heaven, this is the passage that said all things work together for good. This is the package that says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That is God, the Holy Spirit, that lives within us. This is the passage of Scripture that the great Apostle Paul teaches to the New Testament church and says we're sealed and we're victors. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We're not forgotten. We are not alone. Paul writes this in the presence of the coming storm of persecution that is going to break out on the first century church. Paul writes this to prepare the New Testament church. I think it's apropos that we read it here this morning. Verse 14. First of all, I know that everything is going to be all right. And I've got several different reasons and several different verses here and a little number by them. And I got a little point here that I wrote just yesterday. I scribbled these in. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, verse 14, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is bondage. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy. And I say that very reverently. We are invited to intimacy. In the New Testament, we are invited to intimacy with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, I've got a Heavenly Father. He sees me when I hurt. He hears me when I cry. He hears me when I speak out to him and call his name and ask, and he hears me when I worship him as well. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus, with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. One reason I know everything's going to be all right is I'm part of the family of God. I'm family. You're just like families here on this earth. You maybe don't like me, but you got to love me because I'm family. I belong to Jesus. And if you're born again, you've been born into the family of God and your family as well. You don't know what security that brings. In the family of God, I'm that crazy uncle that you got to put up with at Thanksgiving dinner. I'm the one that tries to pull all the shenanigans and the prankster and all. That's me, spiritually speaking. That is me in the family of God. Maybe you don't like me, but you got to love me because our big brother, joint heir, is Jesus Christ. We have a Heavenly Father. And we can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. Man, I need you. Is there anything like, pick your youngest grandchild that's able to hug. And when they see you, they run up to you and hug you and squeeze your neck. Isn't that a great feeling? How many grandpas and grandmas know what I'm talking about? Amen. Man, there's nothing like that. I came in one time and I was on a long trip and I came into the house and one of my granddaughters were there and she said, Papa! And she ran up and hugged me and squeezed my, I said, man, I'd travel 1,000 miles for that hug. You know, it's great being a member of the family of God. Daddy, everything's going to be all right. I have a Heavenly Father and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Powerful. Let's read on here. For I reckon that the sufferings, oh, I love verse 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We live in a tough day, and it's going to get tougher. I heard this. I heard it twice because I heard it in two different news programs during the week. One news program is just repeating the other news program. But the CDC says that 1 in 4 people in the population of the world identifies as being gay. I'm thinking, I don't know that that's right. I do know that it's a sick world that we live in. I know people are being programmed. I know people are not sure of themselves anymore. And what a day and age, 25%? I don't know. But I do know that one is too many, right? They need to be saved, just like every sinner needs to be saved and born into this great family that we call the family of God. There's this new world order that you're hearing all about in the global church and the ecumenical church. I know you're aware of that. The new world government that everybody is lining up for. And I just saw a thing this week and I'm just aghast that all these big important people all over the world are just buying into this. Some of them are wearing turbans and some of them are in business suits and some of them are Americans and some of them, you know, from all the world leaders and how they're buying into this one world government and getting everything prepared for it. Last Sunday I mentioned the digital currency that the Federal Reserve is going to introduce. They've already introduced it. It's already gone. It's already moving, but they're going to try to make a big splash in the month of July. I mentioned AI and artificial intelligence and all that's going on there during Sunday school this morning. I was at a pastor's legislative day this week in Lansing. Every time I go to Lansing, I feel like I got to take a bath after I leave the city. They're in the Capitol building, in a hearing room. First of all, we had our max board meeting, and that was a good meeting. But in the pastor's legislative meeting, there were attorneys there from Washington, from the AACS. The Great Lakes Justice Center guys were there, all these attorneys. And then we had one, you know, senators and state representatives, and they're all coming in one at a time, and they're kind of sharing what they know that's going on and what's going on behind the scenes. And Michigan is in a dark place, and it's going to get darker. No surprise, we've been knowing this is going to happen. And next year at this time, next year in the spring, that's when a lot of the governor's things that she's put her signature to, they become full force. And it's going to get real dark. You know what I say? Bring it on. I'm a child of God. We're doing the greatest work in the world. We are called of God to evangelize and win people to Christ. Take away our tax-exempt status. Who cares? Man, take away. Just go ahead and take away the rights like the Roman Empire did. We're still going to serve God. Man, we're going to go to heaven when it's all said and done. It says here in verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. They said it again. These attorneys from Washington said it again. Michigan is one of the dark states. We're kind of leading the way. We all knew that was going to happen. We all knew where it was. And they said, pastors, get ready to go to jail. You say, how could it happen that fast? It's happening at a breakneck speed. Said, and the assistant pastors had better step up, right? And take the lead. And we may end up being like the Chinese churches, the underground. That's fine. Man, I tell you what, there'll be revival in the church then. Yeah. Things are changing fast. You say you're overstating it. I don't think I am. It's just a matter of when Jesus comes. Before all this happens or after some of this is already getting started. And we're not told either way. We just know he's coming at any moment, at any moment. Not tribulation. He's coming before that. But understand this. And all of the sufferings of this present world, not to be compared. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Man, I look forward to heaven. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. What we're going to read here in these next several verses, and maybe I won't read it all, is the fact that all of creation is waiting for the Savior. All of creation is crying out to God. We're in the struggle. It's hot and heavy. It's going to get heavier yet. The waters will get deeper yet. So be it, if that's the will of God. Thank God we live in America. Thank God we've had all of the privileges that we've got. But you know what? Some of the leaders in our country, they're saying, some of the leaders in the state of Michigan, they're saying, and I didn't hear from just a couple of congressmen. We were there all day long. Man, things are changing fast. And the gate is already open. The train is already down the tracks. Let's live for God. We need to make, here's what one of the men said, one of the attorneys said. He happened to be born again. You better get as big a footprint as you can right now. Man, I'm all for that. Let's make hay right now. Let's do everything we can right now for the glory of God. You'll never regret it. I'll never regret it. I promise you, God is that good. Skip all the way down to verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Faith, of course, is really what it's all about. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we shall pray for as we ought. For the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In the meantime, as we're here in the battle, sometimes we don't know what to pray for. Pray. Get on your knees in your prayer closet and pray out to God. And God the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. He's kind of that filter. He says, Father, I know what they're asking for. And they don't have a full picture of it. But here's what they want. Here's what they need. The Holy Spirit does that for us. Verse 27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God is at work. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, man, I don't know what to do next. Follow God. Follow God. And the Holy Spirit's making intercession for you. Surrender to God. Do what you know is the known will of God right now. And the future will take care of itself. God, the Holy, we're joint heirs with Jesus. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He makes intercession for us. What a God we serve. Let's read on here. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Interesting Greek word, it means invited. And whom he had called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What a God we have. You talk about everything going to be all right. You talk about recognizing that whatever suffering we suffer today couldn't be worth it all. Not even worthy to be compared. I love the song we sing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Man, life's trials will seem so small when we see him. It will be worth it all. I'm part of his family. I belong to him. Number two, I'm as good as there. Verse 30. Predestined, invited, called to become just like Jesus. I am as good as in heaven already. One day I'll really be there. Look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I have God. It's the 21st century. I'm not alone. I have God. He didn't leave us alone in this world. We have God, the Holy Spirit. We got the New Testament church ordained of God. I've got the eternal word of God. It's right here in Holy Writ, in ink, so I can read it and I can study it to show myself approved unto God. He certainly did not leave us alone. He gave under shepherds, men of God that are called to be pastors and leaders in the church of Jesus Christ, sinners like everybody else. But God anoints them, and God empowers them and enables them and gives to them leadership. Boy, there's a void of leadership in the world today. There's a void of spiritual leadership in the church of Jesus Christ. Last night on the prayer call, the national prayer call, I was asked to give the devotions. I forgot all about it. Oh, my goodness. About, just a little bit before the time I was supposed to, it was 8 o'clock, just a little bit before 8 o'clock, I remembered, oh man, so I cracked my Bible open. Man, there's going to be all these big shot preachers and all these big shot evangelists, from all over America. What am I going to share? And I started to panic a little bit. Man, what am I going to do? I went to Romans in chapter 8. And I was reminded, and I told them, I was going to try to wow you tonight, but I ain't got it. There's nothing like that in me tonight. But I want to encourage you. And I went to this passage of scripture. And I told him the church is not done. Christ is not done with the church because we're still here. We haven't been raptured yet. We haven't been called home yet. It's up to us to carry the ball. It's up to us to get to the end zone. It's up to us to close up make those running lanes for the shiny pants backs that are running the football. We got to work together as a team and zealously and violently play our position to the glory of God. That means with zeal. We're to do whatever. We've got to bleed. We've got to bleed. But we do it for God. I'm part of God's family. I'm as good as in heaven already. I'm not alone. God did not leave us alone. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I have it all. With Jesus, I have everything I need. Provision, protection, and peace. I got it all. It isn't just the preacher that has it. You have it. You're born again. God, the Holy Spirit indwells you. You're part of the family of God. You have it all as well. Amen. Quit running to Egypt. Don't drink at the poisoned wells of the world. Man, run to the Savior. Everything has been provided for you, whatever time is left. I'm justified. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And that word justify is a legal term. It isn't a pardon. It's being exonerated. It's being set free. It's like I never was a sinner. I'm under the blood. When God the Father sees this sinner man saved by grace, he sees the righteousness of the only begotten Son of God. He sees me through the prism of the blood atonement that has paid the price for my sin. I truly do have it all. Everything really is going to be all right. Another thing, look at verse 34. I'm not forgotten. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's there and he prays for us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, he's our advocate. Timothy, he's our mediator. Hebrews chapter 4, he is our great high priest. There's no condemnation. I am being prayed for by none other than the Son of God. John in chapter 14, greater things than these shall ye do because I go to my Father and maketh intercession for you. What a God we serve. Everything truly is going to be all right. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? I'm secure. Nothing can break that bond that I have by way of my Savior. He did it all. Some of you may be here this morning and you're saying, man, what do I have to do to get saved? Too late. It's already been done. It's all been provided for. All you have to do is repent. Just come. That's all you've got to do. Jesus did all the work, and I'm secure. Don't be afraid of life. Don't be afraid of what the next few months hold or the next couple of years hold. Fear is bondage. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear, that kind of fear does not motivate me. Now, I am a counterpuncher. I'm that kind of guy. You know, I was that way back in Golden Glove days, too. You hit me in the end of the beak, man, I'm going to hit you right back right now. And sometimes that's a weakness. You challenge me, and I'm there for the challenge. I'm in this 66-year-old man's body right now. But on the inside, I'm still that young man. And when somebody says something nasty about my Lord, man, I'm on it right now. I'm on it. I'm John Wayne all over again with the power of God upon me. You know, the fact is, these are the last days. Time is almost over. The church is getting ready to be called home. If you were in Sunday school this morning, your heart was blessed. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll continue that again next week. Jesus is our guarantee. Look at the last couple of verses. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm sure. I know that I know that I know that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And that's not braggadocious. None of the reason I know is because of Tim Rader. It's all because of my Savior. You know, I know what the Bible says. I know what God said. I know what Jesus said. I know what it is to be born again. Man, I'm part of the family. I belong. I'm secure. I'm not alone. I'm as good as there. I have it all. Peace, protection, provision. Whatever God has planned for the church in the last days, I'm secure in Christ. I've got it all. He's gone before us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even if great physical persecution took place, so be it. I have it all. I'm in Christ. And that's why Paul said to the believers at Rome, I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed hereafter. The best is yet to come. We got all eternity to enjoy and serve. And yes, your crazy uncle is going to be there with you. I might be your neighbor. Won't that be a hoot? Gay, I forgot to get my ribbons out this morning. I mean, the colored ones, but I got these ones right here. You know, the crazy uncle, that's all of, the one that's hiding in the dark corner all the time when you come home and jumps out and scares you and makes you jump out of your boots. I'm coming with you, brother. I'm coming with you. Let's be secure in Christ. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, God is good. And if you're not serving him today, even as a child of God, you got born again and you run into the world, you're making a dreadful mistake. Destruction will be the result. A lack of rewards and glory will be the result. Man, don't drink from those wells. Don't do that. Let's be that city that is set on a hill. Comes back to that 3 weeks in a row. And I do love what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, and I say it again. The church is not called to be a village in a valley, or to be a city set on a hill.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.